Loving parents can now obtain information about their natural parents. I realize that in some cases that can be a very sensitive and a painful journey. Almost all of us will be familiar with the mother and child homes in Ireland and the horrors that have been exposed about them in recent years. The so-called protectors of the vulnerable in society, the Christian churches and the state, were found, unfortunately, in some instances, to be at fault. I know a few people who have been unable to trace their roots or families, so I will take nothing for granted this morning. During my ministry, visiting thousands of families in their homes, a starting point in conversation often would be their families, beginning perhaps with a question about a photograph on the windowsill. Now, my reason for dwelling on this subject is contained in this morning's gospel passage, where Jesus was informed by the crowd that your mother and your brothers are looking for you. Mark chapter 6 tells us that Mary and Joseph had at least 7 children, including Jesus and his 4 brothers. We might conclude that they were a close-knit family, and yet when Jesus was crucified, his mother Mary seemed to have none of her other sons to comfort her. When Jesus was lost in the temple aged about 12, there is no mention of his brothers. But brothers are mentioned at the family wedding at Cana. And then later in St. Paul's letters, for example in Galatians, there is mention of James, the Lord's brother. Now, obviously, for those of you who accept the virgin birth, Jesus can only have had stepbrothers. Roman Catholic official teaching and some branches of Eastern Orthodox Christianity maintain that Mary was a perpetual virgin. On the other hand, in a book entitled The History of Joseph the Carpenter, Joseph is depicted as an old man with children from a previous marriage. There is no universal agreement, as scholars have been debating the composition of the family of Jesus for nearly 2,000 years, and we're not going to find a definitive answer here in St. Columba's in 10 minutes this morning. All we can say is that the immediate family tree of Jesus looks as complicated as those of many families today. I don't wish to leave the matter there. In this morning's gospel, Jesus is recorded as saying, or asking rather, "Who are my mother and brothers? For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Those words have been used, and I would suggest they have been twisted to argue that only those who have accepted Jesus as Lord can be called brothers and sisters. That has split families apart. I remember deeply disturbed grandparents standing outside a school I knew well in my parish in a desperate attempt to see their grandchildren because they were denied that opportunity because they were not considered to be members of the family of Christ. I heard such words, I have to say, from the mouths of a few people in my time who had disowned their brothers and sisters as they were not perceived to be Christians. Now, you and I know the saying that you can choose your friends, but not your family. Some may disown their family because of some unfortunate fallout over one thing or another. And in case you feel that you're the only one in that situation, it happens in many family circles. But it is disturbing that when that fallout is the result of an ultra-conservative scriptural understanding of family, that those families are torn apart. Do you know, as we often discover, maybe here again in Northern Ireland, the Bible can be used as a projectile, not to unite, but to divide. Now, these may be extreme cases, for generally the church has been an effective way of binding families together. Last week, as I observed the succession of funerals in Chrysla in County Donegal, and the crowds flocking to the local church to be addressed by the parish priest, who featured strongly in my prayers, "Dear help the poor man having to go through all that," I realized the loving and healing effect the church could have in life and in a community. Sadly, in a sense, with a rapid decline in the relationship between church and community, that can no longer be the case, especially in some urban areas. This parish where we live and where we worship, under the direction and pastoral care of our rector, strives daily to show that a faith community can be like a community of love. So much of what we say as a parish in action and through our worship and through our liturgy can promote the thought, without being intrusive in anybody's private life, that we are a community of love. We may know little about our roots, and even if we do, we may be proud or embarrassed at the lifestyle of our predecessors. However, we need to remind ourselves that as imperfect people, and not one of us here is perfect, we need to be reminded that we have been entrusted with the task of building up the kingdom of God on earth, whether here in St. Columba's or elsewhere. I believe that if we take that task as part of our mission in life, we can evoke from casual bystanders in the secular world in which we live today the comments of a first century group of people as they reflected on the way of life of others whom they met. See how those Christians love one another. So to God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, henceforth and forevermore. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. In a moment of silence, we firstly bring our own prayers and intercessions before God. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world. Renew the life of this diocese of Down and Drumore. Bless John, our Archbishop, David, our Bishop, Ken and Walter, our assistant priests, and Karen, our diocesan lay reader, and build us up in faith and love. We pray for our Sunday school superintendent and teachers, and for our creche coordinator and helpers, as they meet in the church hall with our young people for Sunday school and creche, giving thanks for their work and for their support. Here in St. Columba's, we pray for the Organ Scholarship Board award service that will take place here this afternoon, giving thanks that our parish church can reach out to serve the wider church through the training of organists. We pray for the tutors, Dr. Joe McKee and Mr. Michael McCracken, the organist in Down Cathedral, and for the scholars. We pray for those who will be presented with their certificates this afternoon, and we welcome those new scholars joining the scheme. And we pray for the parishes in which they serve and for the opportunities they have to support their congregations through music. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, look with favor on the world you have made. Guide the nations in the ways of justice and of peace, and bless Charles, our king, and all in authority. We pray for the people of Ukraine, for those who are bereaved, for those who are injured, for those who have fled their country in the war, and for those living in such difficult and challenging circumstances. We pray for the president of Ukraine, for his government, for guidance, for safety in their work as they endeavor to keep their people safe throughout the war. We pray for an end to the war, and we pray for all the many charitable organizations working so hard in that country, trying to offer support to those who are suffering so terribly. As Remembrance Sunday approaches in a few weeks' time, may we all recommit ourselves to peace, justice, and reconciliation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live and work. We pray at this time for all doctors and medical surgeries, giving thanks for their work as they embark upon an extensive vaccination program of COVID boosters and flu vaccinations, praying we may all accept the opportunity to go and to be vaccinated and to get vaccinated as we endeavor to keep ourselves safe and those around us. We pray for all who work in the medical profession, giving thanks for all of their work. No matter what area of medicine they are involved in, we give thanks for the support they give to us as their patients. May we be mindful of them and do what we can to keep ourselves as well as we can throughout these months of winter. Help us to love our neighbors as ourselves, enable us to serve our families and friends, and to love one another as you love us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all healing, relieve and protect those who are sick or suffering. Be with those who have any special need. Especially we pray for Margaret, in the Royal Victoria Hospital at this time, and for her family, and for those who have her care. We pray for those who are awaiting test results, and those who have medical appointments during these coming days and weeks, praying that you will give to each and every one the strength and the support and the calmness that they need as they await results or await appointments. May they know, O Lord, that you are with them, and may they be very close to you at this time. We pray for those who are bereaved. We pray for David, Emma and Sarah Craig, following the recent death of Louise. As we pray for Emma and Sarah, we pray as they now return to university. And we pray for David and the wider family that you will be with them. We pray too for Jill Atchison and her family following the very sudden death of her sister, whose funeral takes place on Friday. And deliver all who know danger, violence, or oppression, Lord, in your mercy. Lord of eternity, bind us together by your Holy Spirit in communion with all who, having confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ, that we may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen.